Well, kids, you can be dismissed if you like. So typically my wife and I have a date night on Fridays, and last night we decided to do our date night, and we actually stayed out later than we normally stay out. And I was like, you know what, that's fine, I don't have anything going on tomorrow morning at church. And my alarm, I woke up before my alarm went off, and I was like, you know, I think I'm going to go take a long walk with the dog this morning. And I looked at my phone, and it was a missed call and a voicemail that from 5 minutes ago from Pastor John. And I reached out to Pastor John, and as many of you know, Pastor Lynn, his wife, is diagnosed with lymphoma, and it was a really hard morning for her. And Shirley just told me, coming into the service this morning, that she's just recently been taken by ambulance to the hospital just because of the excruciating pain that she's going through right now. So just want to pray for her right now. God, as we come together and worship you, we do lift up Pastor Lynn to you and just the pain that she's experiencing. God, my will, and I know so many of our wills, is that she would be healed miraculously and very quickly, and that this pain would be removed from her. God, we just lay those desires at your feet right now and just help Pastor John as he navigates this with his wife, and that you continue to strengthen them together, and just pray for just their family as they're also concerned about what's happening. But just please bless them, especially this morning, and give the doctors and caregivers the discernment of what to do now for her. And I pray all these things in your name. Amen. So this sermon this morning either has the potential of being very short, or it has the potential of being very long. So I got up this morning and I said, and then we talked to Pastor John. And so from 6:40-ish this morning, as I started getting ready, I was in the shower, I was like, you know, what am I going to preach on this morning? And as you know, I was getting ready, we've been on this theme of discipleship. So if you're kind of new here, if this is your first time, we've been having a sermon series on various types of discipleship or models of discipleship relationships in the Bible. And many of the songs that we were actually singing this morning line up to what Pastor John was going to be preaching on, which was Deborah and Barak, or Deborah, as some of you mispronounce. So as I was thinking of discipleship, I was like, you know, maybe I could talk about the disciples that Jesus worked with, you know, and talked about all the miraculous signs they did and the power of the Holy Spirit, and was thinking all these things that I could maybe come up with to talk about this morning. And then I thought, you know, this is some low-hanging fruit. Thanksgiving is coming up. Let's talk about Thanksgiving. And so today's sermon, that there is no slides for, I'm sorry, and I didn't create any life group questions for you, so you're just going to have to take notes, I'm sorry. It's called an attitude of gratitude. So you better just be grateful that I'm here this morning. No. Thanksgiving is this Thursday, if you didn't know, and there has been tons of hustling and bustling, getting prep for the big meal, getting prepped for family members, perhaps coming to visit. Maybe you're planning on traveling. Maybe some of you are already gone, which I'm not talking to you right now because you're already gone and you're traveling right now. But there's a lot of stuff going on to prepare. Maybe you're looking forward to watching the Lions game or watching the Dallas Cowboys lose again. Whatever it is. Whatever it is, there is so much going on that sometimes we forget to be thankful. The whole reason why we even have this holiday in the first place, it's not a Christian holiday, it's an American holiday. And so we come together and we want to remember to be thankful. Remember to give thanksgiving to God and remember the blessings that we have together. And isn't it ironic, don't you think? from Alanis Morissette, I'm quoting for all of you in my age bracket, right? Isn't it ironic that the very next day, after we spend all day thanking God for what we have, we go and we buy everything because we are dissatisfied with what we have? Isn't it ironic? Don't you think? All right. It's just strange that we spend all this time preparing and to celebrate a time of Thanksgiving, and then it breeds dissatisfaction in our lives that the advertisers are already telling us, yeah, that phone that you have is so obsolete now. Even though you got it last year, you got to get the new one or the new watch or whatever. There's always something else that you can have that will fulfill your dissatisfaction with what you have. And we've become very self-centered. It's just ironic, don't you think? Okay, I'm not going to say that anymore. For me personally, it's difficult, not just in this season, but it's difficult because of how I believe God has wired me as an individual. God has created me as an achiever. God has wired me as a visionary. And oftentimes, visionaries have difficulty staying present in the moment because we're always looking at what is ahead, what's next. You know, I do this with career. I do this with our church family, with my own personal family. You know, where is God taking us 3 years from now? Where is God leading us 5, 10 years from now? And I'm always looking at what's ahead. And if I forget to stay in the present, I sometimes can become ungrateful for what I have. So it's a good reminder for me, and just as I have told you in sermons in the past, there has not been yet a sermon that I have preached that I have also not needed to hear, and this morning is no different. As someone who is a visionary and someone who is an achiever and very driven, I sometimes get a little restless. If I feel like I'm staying still or feeling stagnant, but how do we learn to become thankful for what we have right now? How do we begin to take on this attitude of gratitude? How do we pass on thankfulness to not only our children but to the next generations of people if we don't have kids as well? Well, I think part of it is perspective. Sometimes what we forget, especially sometimes for me, I'll just use an example. I always think every year, you know what? That new 55-inch TV would be great. You know, that would be great. I would love to be able to have a clear picture. But I'm like, I don't need a new TV. I have two TVs that work just fine. One of them still works fine, despite that I have 7 kids. Even though they've broken 5 of the remotes up until this point, and 6 Roku remotes and 3 Nintendos, it's fine, right? But the TV itself still works. We've had it for, what, 10? I think we've had it for almost 10 years now, 9 years. It still works. Flat screen. I know, it's crazy. 720 picture. It's great. But sometimes I can be dissatisfied because I forget, hey, you know, what I have right now is perfectly fine. It's totally working for us right now. So as I was thinking of thankfulness and having a sermon on thankfulness as we look forward to Thanksgiving, it's a lot of thanks, I want to capitalize on this discipleship attitude that we can have for being thankful or being mindful of Thanksgiving. And it brought me back to the same passage that I preached on a few weeks ago, which is in Deuteronomy. So you have Bibles in front of you, and you can turn off Candy Crush and go to the church app, and you can look at the Bible, or Words with Friends, or what's that, Wordle. Stop playing Wordle. And we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy is the 5th book of the Bible. And we're going to start in chapter 6, which is the Shema. And Moses is passing this down on to the Hebrew people who are about to embark on this freedom, this adventure that God is giving to them, to entering into a new land. So hear the words of the Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land of large, flourishing cities that you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells that you did not dig, vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant, then when you eat and when you are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. In the future, when your son asks you, what's the meaning of these stipulations, decrees, and the laws of the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord has brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And before our very eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders great and terrible on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land he promised an oath to our ancestors. And the Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey this law before the Lord our God as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. We are told to remember, to not forget the faithfulness of God. And I think the same is true today. So, over the past couple of weeks, I've been asking people, just like our new members, what are your favorite foods or what are some of your rituals or traditions that you celebrate or that you do during Thanksgiving and Christmas? And I've heard, you know, some people have various traditions when opening gifts, whether it's Christmas Eve or if it's Christmas Day, the types of foods and things that we eat. But our family does a lot of traditions, especially around the time of Christmas. And so here's just an example. We don't do anything for Christmas. No, I'm just kidding. We on Christmas morning, the kids wake up and they get to go through their stockings of presents or whatever. And then we sit down and we have a gigantic breakfast of foods that we don't eat together except for once a year. But we do have them separately sometimes during the year, but all together. So we have quiches that are made from scratch. We have poundages of bacon, crispy, not soggy. We have pecan rolls or caramel rolls. We have a big, fresh bowl of fruit salad. Coffee. We don't have coffee, but we will have coffee this year. Orange juice, milk, that kind of thing. And then we have this big breakfast, and then we spend all day opening up presents one by one. And if you can imagine, 9 people, and if there's any guests at our house, it takes all day. And one thing that we have tried to train our kids on year after year is when you open a present, what is it? Say thank you, and what is something you like about it? Good job. See, they remember. The other thing is that we go through an Advent book, and the kids end up memorizing the entire story of the birth of Christ, all the way up to the dedication from Simeon to Jesus. And so those are just some of the traditions and rituals that we have at our house. And rituals and celebrations and traditions reinforce our memory. It reinforces to remember what is important. Why are we doing this in the first place? Why do we have various celebrations in our church? You know, the early Hebrews, they had all kinds of celebrations. It says, go back and remember the Passover. Go back and remember the new year. Go back and remember the Day of Atonement. Come and celebrate later Pentecost. Celebrate the birth of Christ, Jesus rising from the dead, fasting. Remember all of these things. There are times in our church calendar that force us to remember. And so we pass these on to our kids in songs, sometimes to memorize scripture. Perhaps maybe you still remember some of the songs that you remember as a child through memorization. And so it helps it. It reinforces. And I don't know if I've ever shared this particular quote with you or not. You've probably forgotten, just like the rest of my sermons, which is fine. But you can't... Okay, here's the quote. You can remember without being thankful, but you can't be thankful without remembering. So you can remember without being thankful, but you can't be thankful without remembering. And I think this is important for us to remember that despite our current circumstances, whether good or bad, we're to give God praise and glory in all circumstances. Because if we truly remember God's faithfulness and his grace and his mercy in our lives, then sometimes our current situation doesn't seem as bad. Or it, in the case of the Israelites, when you have all these good things, don't forget where you came from. And don't forget that you might fall into the same traps if you choose to disobey my commands. Don't think, Israel, that you had anything to do with this. It was all God. Don't become entitled. Has anybody ever felt entitled before? Three of you. Good. The rest of you are liars. So, entitlement. I won't say which teenagers in our house have sometimes felt entitled or expressed some entitlement, but it can be a little bit frustrating. I don't know how many of you have ever raised teenagers before. And it's not that my teens are always selfish and entitled, because they do a lot of great serving, you know? Because my wife and I, Carrie, we have given them many opportunities to serve and to do things for other people, to become less selfish, to think of others before themselves. And so they do that so many times outside of the house. We just wanted them to do it more inside the house too, right? But we love them, but it's training them. And in next year, I will have four teens living in my house, or that I will have four teens, but not one of them will be 14. Yeah, that came to me this morning too. Teens developmentally are naturally selfish. It's not their fault. This is the development of their life. They just kind of are self-centered teenagers, right? But we continue to prompt them and correct them and say, you know, look, this is how we become less selfish. This is how we begin thinking of other people. And eventually, they'll grow out of it, hopefully. Well, let's face it, I mean, when it comes to providing, we don't like to feel underappreciated. No one likes to not feel appreciated for the hard work or the sacrifices they have made for someone else, right? I mean, you're giving someone something and you expect at least a thank you or an acknowledgement of your hard work. And we all like to be acknowledged. And there's so many people that work behind the scenes that aren't thanked, or they're thankless jobs, or things that we don't even think about on a regular basis that we need to be thankful for. But let's face it, we all feel appreciated. We all like it when we can feel appreciative. This has been something difficult for me. Okay, so Jeremy's going to get a little honest, and sometimes Jeremy overshares, but can I be a little honest? One or two. Okay, everybody else be quiet, or just don't listen then. All right, so God's working on me in a particular area of benevolence. So has anybody ever taken spiritual gifting tests before? Where you determine, you know, what are the spiritual gifts God has given to me that I want to be able to capitalize on and be able to serve God freely in those giftings, right? Compassion, mercy, and justice is the dead last for me. I know, I'm your pastor, one of your pastors, right? But compassion, mercy is dead last. It does have a score, It did score. It's on there. There's a pulse. But it's dead last. Now, Pastor John's, it's high up there. It's like one of his top two or three probably. You know, it's super high. And so we balance each other out, right? If you want a yes, you go to John. If you want a no, you come to me. Right? It's like play mom against dad, right? So anyway, people sometimes, oh, and by the way, let me caveat it. Our church is super generous. Super generous. We are a very generous congregation. Once a month, when we do communion, we do a benevolent offering, which is offering money in a special fund to where we help people in the community or help people within our congregation who are going through difficulty, who are maybe struggling financially, and they just need a little bit of help at the time. Well, it brings me great joy and pleasure to be able to help people in our congregation, people who are plugged in here at this church. In fact, it brings me great pleasure and joy to do that for people who are at another church in town because their church maybe isn't set up financially to be able to provide assistance for them, and so they come here and they ask for help, and we talk to the pastor and it works out. I love doing that. Now, God is working on me with the 99% of people who I've never met before, who are in a crisis mode, and they need assistance immediately, right? It's their crisis, and so we're there to kind of walk alongside that. And most of the people that we help, and so this is how kind of the conversation goes, is that, you know, typically we can try to help you once, you know, depending on what the need is. We might be able to help you once. But our goal and our desire is, and this is what I say, is that you get plugged into a community here at our church or get plugged into another church somewhere in the community. We don't want you to have to be going through these difficult things by yourself, right? We're built for community, and so that's our desire for you. And so if you never come back here, or if you never get plugged into a church, if you don't, you know, get participate and celebrate recovery on Tuesdays, by the way, it's at 5:30, every single Tuesday, there's the other plug, right? And we had a great Thanksgiving meal, by the way. We had over probably 80 people in the Thanksgiving meal last week. And so we're super pumped about that. So back on track. This is me off track. Now this is me back on track. So where was I now? Got to bring the train back. Okay. And I say, if you come back later and you're in a crisis financially and you're needing assistance again, but you haven't plugged in here or another church, we might not be able to help you a second time. And they're like, oh, you know, Pastor, I'm going to be there at church next Sunday. And 99% of people never show up again. They never show up again. And so it breeds a little frustration in me, you know. Maybe a little bit of resentment. Why aren't people thankful? Why aren't people thankful? Because I'm sure they're thankful in the moment, but it reminds me kind of the passage in Luke 17, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But first, Robert Lupton, who is the author, bestseller of Toxic Charity. And Pastor John gave that to me on Monday. He sent me this article, and I said, hey, you know, Pastor John, that would be a great article for us to discuss as a staff. How do we handle benevolence cases that come into our church on a almost, I want to say, daily basis, but at least one or two times a week for sure? We have conversations with people who are going through crisis. And so this person who wrote Toxic Charity, and he served in this for over 50 years, he says, Americans, hands down, are the most generous people on earth. Our nation's relief agencies regularly provide heroic support in the wake of crises such as earthquakes, floods, and famines. And we have Covenant World Relief, who we support as well as a denomination. He said, there's a world of difference between short-term crisis and long-term needs. And when a chronic need like generational poverty is addressed as a crisis response, he says people are actually harmed by that. So again, we're going to be talking about this as a staff and mining through Scripture to see what God has to say about this too. But Robert goes on, he says, if you give once to someone, again, this is in a crisis response, if you help somebody once, you elicit appreciation. Oh, good. If you help the same person a second time, you generate anticipation. If you help the same person a third time, you generate expectation. Well, when will you be back with more gifts? If you help a fourth time, you generate entitlement. Well, you know, I got a turkey last year. This year, can I have a ham instead? You give five times, you create dependency. And he says, this is why people tend to remain poorer. Dignity is eroded when people come to view themselves as charity cases for wealthy visitors. It's convicting, and, you know, we're going to talk about it as a staff, but I want to encourage and, I'm going to say praise all of you because that sounds sacrilegious, but our congregation is super generous. I would say we're the most generous one in all of McPherson, hands down. Like, I guarantee you, we have the healthiest benevolent fund anywhere in McPherson, and I would bet anywhere in the county. And I would say compared to all the covenant churches in our conference, we've got to be in the top one or two, and probably our denomination. I don't want to tell you how much money is in the benevolent fund, but I will tell you that we are very, very generous, and we care about helping people. And we as staff want to do a good job of being good stewards of that as well. So we're grateful for that. So let me read this passage in Luke 17 about gratefulness. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, he said, go and show yourselves to the priest. And then, as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Again, Jesus gives another demonstration of a thankfulness or a heart of compassion that a Samaritan was doing these things. And a Samaritan, as many of you know, were considered half-breeds of Jews. And so the people that were living in Jerusalem, the true Jews, right, they had a lot of resentment towards these people. And the people that were in Samaria were like, well, you know, long story, you've heard me preach about this before. You can go back and listen to our podcast. Okay, so, but there was tension. And Jesus says, look, this one person out of 10 came back. He was Samaritan. Helping us to remember, look, we have to have our mind on thankfulness. We have to remember the source of grace, the source of giving, the source of life, the source of all things, who is God our Father in Christ Jesus. We're to rejoice in all circumstances. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 9, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, yes, let your greatness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There is an attitude that we all need to adopt, an attitude I need to adopt as well, to have more compassion, but also to be grateful and thankful, not only what God has given me now, but also not to let my visionary, my achievingness, my drivenness, which God has made me as a human to have these qualities, not to overshadow, to be thankful in the moment. So once again, it's a sermon I needed to hear, and I'm grateful that God has given me some words to speak as we got to hear God's words spoken this morning. So as we go into a time of thanksgiving this week, let us continue to remember where our hearts and our minds and our focus needs to be, which is towards thankfulness. Let's pray. God, thank you again for helping me through the second sermon today, and I just humbly pray, God, that it would be a blessing to those who have heard it. God, that it's humbling to be able to provide and come off the bench for Pastor John again. And just again, please offer your blessing to the words that were spoken and help us to be mindful and have a heart of gratitude for all things. Help us to not be in such a place where we feel like we deserve anything, but help us to continue just to be dependent and grateful for all that you have given to us right now. And I pray all these things in your name. Amen.